Blog Talk Radio.
All right, it is Friday night, folks. It's 10 p.m. We're talking about exceptionalism tonight. I do thank you for tuning in. This is the Duke Machado Show, and I am your host, Duke Machado, catching you every weeknight, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, sharing thoughts on the day, trying to bring a little perspective to some issues. And, you know, this topic, how we came up with this today, actually stems from a conversation that I had last night on our program with David Walalu, and he's a professor, he's a teacher, I guess instructor at McLennan Community College, and so he's dealing directly with students. He's got an interesting perspective, and he talked last night about the need for teachers to instill higher expectations, and to instill exceptionalism in the students, to challenge students to think bigger, to think of themselves as more than maybe they think of themselves. You know, all this talk about exceptionalism, it makes me think of, you know, before liberals and progressives really started taking over the country and spinning things and reversing the meaning of things, it seemed like it was just an American way of life. Our goal was to be the best that we could at everything we did. We wanted to have a job that paid plenty of money, provide for our families, live in a nice home, drive a nice car, you know, have things, do things, travel, enjoy life. Americans have, according to some presidents, that we have kind of a chip on our shoulder. And when Barack Obama became our president, he traveled the world and toured the world, and many times spoke about us to the people of these countries. And he would mention things about basically how Americans should not be perceived as exceptional people. And when I first heard this, my immediate reaction was, how dare he? How dare he talk about us in a negative way like that? Taking what we consider to be an American trait. It's a trait. You know, when you talk to immigrants in this country about doing things, about just the thoughts of doing something and accomplishing something, the way we think and put things together is not the same way they think. We think anything's possible. We think that if we put our mind to it, we can achieve it because we're limitless, endless opportunity. But around the world, people are not raised this way. We're going to have a conversation. I do welcome callers. I see I do have a caller on the line. We'll get to you here in just 1 second. Let you know how we do this. I rattle off the last four digits of your phone number, so it's pretty simple. And when I do, ask you to state your name and where you're calling from. Caller 8681. Are you there, caller 8681?
Hello.
Yeah, hello. I can't hear you very well. All I hear is background noise.
Sorry about that. I didn't realize I was off.
How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name's Ed. I'm calling from Florida.
From Florida.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we're talking about American exceptionalism. Well, tell me what your thoughts are on all this.
Well, America is an exceptional place because America has the Bill of Rights. The battle's always been between the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists. The Anti-Federalists are for the Bill of Rights and local government and state control. The Federalists are for a huge federal government that's beholden to the UN and some kind of world order out there or something. That's why we need, as Federalists, not as Federalists, but as Anti-Federalists, to get away from the federal government and strengthen the states. States' rights and the Bill of Rights, that's what the Anti-Federalists are about. And when people start seeing that, that there's a battle between the Anti-Federalists and the Federalists, it never ended. I mean, although when Jefferson came back from France, because he wasn't at the Constitutional Convention or at the ratification debates, but when he came to take a seat as Secretary of State, amongst all these Federalists, he actually drove Madison away, but it strengthened the country up, because once those two got, you know, he got to get it back with Madison, they brought out states' rights. And, you know, we had states' rights for a long time, but we lost it. And now, you know, we're taking it back, but state by state, things are coming around. I think American exceptionalism is about the Bill of Rights. The triumvirate of America, as long as we have the Bill of Rights, the Gospel of Christ, and the Ten Commandments, we will be the greatest country in the world.
But let me ask you this. Do you think there is room in this country for religion or non-religious people?
Yeah.
You don't have to believe in God.
Right. My dad's an ardent atheist. My brother's an ardent atheist. I'm surrounded by him. I would love, you know, I'm glad they're here. I mean, that's my family, man. You describe my family. But I'm not describing my family. I'm describing what makes America great. Those three things make America great. As long as we have the Ten Commandments, the Bill of Rights, and the Gospel of Christ. And that's what we were founded on. That's what was Western civilization. The high mark of Western civilization are those three things. And that's why we're still the greatest country in the world, because we have those three things. You can understand that, right? You don't believe those three things are good?
Well, I mean, of course. And when you talk about, you know, all being a nation of immigrants, there's only one thing that unites us, and it truly is our Constitution and Bill of Rights, and that is the common
and
thread
the
that we have.
What I just said,
and the gospel. I agree with you there. Absolutely. That's why we include it so much. And of course, people don't like it anymore. They're trying to supposedly separate church and state. But, you know, getting back to this whole topic of exceptionalism, and I'm going to go ahead and let you go. I appreciate you calling in and sharing your thoughts. And Ed, I think you've called into the show before. And you've always got great things to say. I appreciate you calling in and hope you do
all
continue
right,
to call
God
in.
Bless,
all right, thank you. All right, thank you. So I get tired of watching people suffer. You know, you ever watch people suffer and you think to themselves, or you think to yourself, gosh, if they would just do this, their lives would be so much better. Or gosh, if they did this differently, you know, they could be achieving more. And a lot of times you want people to achieve more than they even want to achieve for themselves. And I wonder how they got to that point. You know, it's not that exceptionalism means that I'm trying to be better than someone else. It doesn't mean that I'm a better person than my neighbor or my coworker or someone else. But if I want to achieve more, and there's nothing wrong with wanting to achieve more, and if I want to do that and earn more income or buy a bigger house or move to a different part of the country, all those things, I have the ability to do those if I choose to do them. I can also choose to believe the propaganda, and which says that I'm a minority, life's going to be tough on me, everything's stacked against me, the system doesn't work, I'm supposed to be on welfare benefits, I'm supposed to be taking advantage of the system in some way. And, you know, it's much easier. Just go ahead and slide into this average or below average position here, and your life's going to be just fine. We'll take care of you. You know, that kind of gives me the gives me the heebie-jeebies. I don't like the thought of that. It's like, it would be like prison. I know it's not prison, but to me, it's like a mental prison. And to me, this is the whole thing of what striving to be an exceptional person or to do exceptional things versus someone who sits and lets things happen. My mother always used to say there's two types of people, those who make things happen and those who let things happen. And, you know, someone who's going to let things happen, nothing really matters. They're not really thinking about their future. Someone who's going to let things happen, they're not proactive. They're not engaged. They're just kind of going along and rolling with the punches. But someone who makes things happen doesn't care what anybody says or thinks, doesn't care how difficult the challenge is or whether anybody's done it before. The person says, well, I think I'm going to do it like this. Watch me. And you know what? They may stumble. They may trip and fall. But they get back up and they keep going and they never quit. And you look up and people say, the guy was just so lucky. He's just the luckiest guy in the world. No, it's not luck, and it's not the government. It's personal decision to be exceptional. This happens in life. This happens all around us, whether you're at work, whether you're waking up in the morning, whatever you want, whatever you decide to apply exceptionalism to your life. You know it takes effort. I'll tell a quick story, and then we're going to take a break, and I'll be right back. When I was in eighth grade, maybe I was seventh grade, I don't remember exactly. I was a catcher for my little league team, and you know I was a catcher for years, and I loved catching. I loved throwing people out at second. I really liked throwing them out at third. Third was just a quick flip and boom, they're gone. So, you know, as a catcher, you're catching for all the different pitchers and you learn different pitcher styles. I was a great batter too. You know, it was baseball was just great, a fun time for me. But we were playing in a tournament and we went further than we thought we would go. And if you know anything about rules, you know that your pitchers can only pitch so many balls, and they have to wait so many days. Well, like I said, we had gone a little further in the tournament than we thought we could go, and we get to the point where we're out of pitchers. It just so happened that this was the game against the team that had the most sluggers. I'm trying to tell you, this team that we played had home run hitters in junior high. They could crank them no problem. And we'd played them before, and they cranked them no problem on us. And so as our team is warming up, coach walks up to me, has the game ball in his hand, and he And he comes up to me as I'm putting my gear on. He says, Duke, we're out of pitchers, and I'm going to need you to pitch tonight. And even I did for a moment there, was just in shock. If you've never pitched before, I mean, you don't know the pressure that's on. You don't know the feeling of having runners on second and third with no outs and the top of their lineup coming up. You don't know the pressure that is, the scores, the potential. The pitching is something else. And so there I was. I decided I'm going to pitch a great game. And every pitch that I threw was 100% focus. I was determined that when at that moment, I was going to do what I needed to do to be the best pitcher that I could be that night. And we won. I almost pitched a no-hitter. I'm not sure. I think one person got on base. I don't know how I did it. Don't ask me. I definitely think I was guided from above. But the point is, when that moment came, I didn't cry. I didn't back down. I didn't mentally defeat myself. I made the decision to do the best that I could to be exceptional. I won the game ball. I was MVP of that game. It's those little things. And once you have some success, you like how it feels. And you want more. Maybe you want to learn more or read more books. Maybe you want to run faster. Maybe you want to be stronger. Whatever it is that you want to achieve, to do it and attempt to do it, to be exceptional, to me is the only way to do it. You don't want to half-ass anything. You can tell when something has been, I don't know another way to put it, half-assed. It means you're not given the effort. You're given half the effort. And it's unfortunate, and I think this dovetails back into that conversation about education, where we say, when I say it's unfortunate, because there's too many people that are making a mental decision to check out. They're checking out early, mentally, from school. They're still going to school. They're still attending the classes. But that student and the teachers know this kid is not striving to be exceptional. But where does it come from? How can a kid who doesn't see anything exceptional around him or her strive to be exceptional? This is the root. This is when you talk about socialists, progressives, they like to talk about common good for society. Everybody's average. No one has more than, no one has less than. Everyone's average. It's the concept that everyone gets a participation trophy. Everyone needs recognition. We have first place, second place, third place, fourth place, fifth place, sixth place, seventh, eighth. Now you just get an award for finishing a race. We're so quick to give out awards and recognition for things that don't deserve it. We're creating a false exceptionalism. and it's called Average or Below Average. And this is what the socialists want. This is what Democrats want. Democrats want to control government, control the money, and they want to use people in the Democrat Party to help them do it. So how do you keep them coming back over and over again? Well, you give them things, free things. Make it worth their effort, worth their while. And they say that people who are receiving benefits are always going to vote to continue receiving those benefits. And, you know, if a person truly needs those benefits, I want them to have them. But if it's someone who's just given up, healthy, able-bodied person, they've just given up because someone told them they could get on SSI or something like that. You know, there's no hope. They've lost hope. People are losing hope. They're losing jobs. How are we going to be exceptional as a country when we have people around us who frown on exceptionalism? Who is it that wants to stop us? It's people who are afraid. They don't want us showing off to the world. They don't want us winning awards. We have to give others a chance. And so now, as our guest last night, David Wallaloo, was saying, we've dropped so far down in the rankings, in our education rankings, in mathematics and science. Being average is okay. Now, when I went to, when I joined the Air Force, I went to tech school. I was in a squadron. It was called the Special Activities Squadron, and we had the Drum and Bugle Corps, the Drill Team, Corral, and I was a student leader. And student leaders, at the time, a 70 was considered a passing grade. It was a C. And we were graded at our tech school. It was like intense tech training. And you could pass with a C and move along. If you were going to be in Special Activities Squadron, you needed to have an 80 average, higher standard. And if you were going to be a student leader in the Special Activities Squadron, which I was, then you had to maintain a 90 average. Now, it seems like it would be, a tough challenge, and it was a tough challenge. It required more effort. It required more work and commitment. Other people would be out horsing around. We would be studying. Decisions that we made to be exceptional doesn't always lead to a smooth, easy path. Sometimes there's more obstacles in the way. Sometimes there's diversions that you have to deal with. Staying on the course, staying believing in yourself, believing in your ability to make things happen, convincing yourself that you are one of those kinds of people, those are all good things. Those need to be encouraged. If someone wants to achieve more, we need to be promoting that. They don't need to be hindered. They don't need to be told that they're trying to be overachievers. They don't need a bunch of haters holding them down, a bunch of crabs in the basket. We all know that story. But then again, who cares what anybody else thinks? I want to do something. My wife will tell you, if I put my mind to it, I'm going to do it. I would love for it, everything that I try to work, they don't always work. But I learn through my failures. And I'm excited about the ability that we have in this country to fail. The ability to start a business, to attempt to improve our lives, the freedoms that we have, the flexibility to travel across the country, one state to another. Ed, who was our caller earlier in this conversation, he's right. We have an attitude. This American exceptionalism is an attitude that we've gained because of our Constitution. As he said, the Ten Commandments, our Bill of Rights and Constitution, and the Gospel of Christ. I think all of those are positive things for the country and should be promoted. We don't need to be taking down the Ten Commandments, that's for sure. But in case we want to know what American exceptionalism is, I'll read the quick definition. It refers to the special character of the United States as a uniquely free nation based on democratic ideals and personal liberty. I think it's great to be exceptional, to attempt to be exceptional. I'm not always exceptional, but I try. And I have the ability to fail. And there's nothing wrong with that. If you're not failing, you're not learning. Being exceptional is a little more daring. There's a little more risk. You have to try harder. But the result, the end result is that you know that you achieved, that you gain insight, you gain strength, you gain resolve when you have those successes. I encourage everyone to go out and have as many of those success stories as possible. We are getting our buzz here that we have 90 seconds until showtime. Beep In told me, the little British accent, 90 seconds. So my name is Duke Machado. I'm going to wrap up the program, spend a quick 30 minutes talking about American exceptionalism, what it takes for us to regain the edge. It seems like we've lost it. People are apologizing for our exceptionalism. I don't think we need to be apologizing. We need to be moving forward, building, growing, coming up with bigger, better ideas. We can do it. My name is Duke Machado. Please go to my Facebook page, The Duke Machado Show, and like it. And follow me on Twitter, at Duke Machado 1. Catch me weeknights, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. I'm out of here.